John, this next principle is the self-government principle of morality, based on Proverbs 11, verse 11. The good influence of godly citizens causes a city to prosper, but the moral decay of the wicked drives it downhill. You'd think these people were in Colombia with us a few times, huh?
Yeah, right. Immorality is an interesting thing. You know, about 10 years ago, you know, the government said here in the U.S. that we cannot legislate morality. But now we are.
Yes, we are.
I mean, it's on the table, and we are now talking about morality, because morality is actually the key to any successful society. Mm-hmm. Absolutely key. Without moral standards that bring self-behavior, you know, you cannot function properly.
And in Colombia, we've seen where when godly people rise up with a moral message, that country will respond.
Oh, yeah. In fact, right now in the world, overall in the world, that's one of the hottest subjects is values from a moral standpoint.
Well, let's read our principle.
Of the person, yeah.
Morality, what is it? Webster's defines it as principles, standards, or habits with respect to right or wrong conduct. The proverb relates it to godliness, meaning God designed standards. It should be understood that God created man and beast with a purpose in mind. Each species was created after its kind, which means that each one of them was created with fixed attributes. Man, however, was given a special gift, the gift of reasoning, and that is one of our greatest gifts as people, huh, John?
That's true. You know, in creation, if you understand creation, everything was made with a fixed parameters that they function by. An animal just knows how to do certain things, and but man was not. Man was given extra stuff, and we'll get into that a little bit, but that's going to be the key. And so if you follow this, this is critical to catch, because this is what makes life work and not work. I mean, it's a very critical situation here.
No animal can reason itself out of its created intent. A robin cannot decide its values or redesign its lifestyles. Its functions are according to its code and design. Likewise, man was created after his kind. However, he has two codes to live by. The first one is a conscience. That's a sense of right and wrong. And then the commandments.
That's right. And that's where we get into what you call really depth discussion. Because what happens is this, that animals live by the conduct that they were created to. Like a robin, he'll build his nest the same way. He will not change to a... from year to year, he'll not say, well, I want an early American style, or next time I want a traditional style of some kind. He just builds, he just does what he knows what to do, and he doesn't learn a new way. He can look at other nests of other birds, and he can watch them, but he cannot design one himself. I mean, he just builds it the way he's designed to build it. Now, man is different. Man is given the creative mind of reasoning, that he can make choices. And so in those choices is where we get into problems, because we have what regulates us then. So the question is, how are we regulated? What is the control factor? And this is the interesting thing. Only in creation, the only thing that ever got commandments was people. And that is their code of regulation.
That's beautiful.
And that is to make sure that they operate within a design. They can still be creative, but they have to understand the code of regulation to keep morality in place. If not, then it becomes self-destructive. The mind really is self-destructive, and absolutely self-destructive, if it's not under regulation. Like a computer that has no regulation, it's destructive. Yeah.
We know by nature that it's wrong to kill, steal, or destroy. That's why people do bad things in the dark when no one is watching. Since man was given the gift of reason, he also needs commandments. These commandments become codes for proper function. They become moral codes. We need them because with our gift of reasoning, we can reason ourselves away from our created conscience. And that's a war that goes on in the battleground of the mind. Don't you?
That's right. A conscience, it's also interesting to understand that a conscience is not necessarily a true guide. Without laws to steer the conscience, you can sear the conscience, and the conscience will allow you to do things. There are people that can kill and feel good about it.
Yes.
That's because of a trained conscience, because they think about something so long and they justify it and reason it out, and then the first thing they know, they feel justified in doing it. There are people that steal. In some of these foreign countries, these third world countries, they don't feel guilty sometimes in stealing because they say, you have so much, you have more than you need anyhow. The U.S. should be handing it out. And so we have a right to steal or destroy in order to get it because that's unfair. You're unfair in not giving it to us. Well, that's not how life was designed. Life was designed to earn, mm-hmm. okay? Not to, so it's very critical that we understand how those moral laws function. That if we don't, well, we become destructive and we'll need more attorneys.
Yes, like that. Many rights and wrongs must be taught. These are the commandments. But some rights and wrongs are part of our created human nature. This is our conscience. When we harden our hearts and sear our God-given conscience, we become selfish, greedy, and self-willed. This leads us away from our natural morals. Our conscience is not our true guide unless it's governed by the commandments.
That's right. It is not, I mentioned that before, it's not a true guide unless it's governed by commandments. But we still have a God-given conscience even we don't know the moral law. Mm-hmm. And that is mean that any kid that grows up that kills and watches it, I mean, they feel guilty. I mean, because they hide, they run. Even when they steal, they do have a conscience because they don't take, and when they steal, they look around to see if somebody's watching, you know. So there is a inbred conscience that we have, but that's not enough on itself because it finally justifies what it's doing. But then the commandments are there to hold it and to steady it.
God made man and beast, male and female, for reproductive purposes. It is only the human that practices homosexuality. Only humans become addicted to drugs and alcohol. Only humans plan abortions. It may be legal or politically correct, but these things are still morally wrong. A business deal may be legal but still violate moral principles. Morality deals with justice for both parties, and it's under a code of right and wrong given by the designer. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you is not a suggestion.
That's right. I mean, I don't know how to get into this to where we really capture the key to this whole thing, because it still deals with right and wrong. It still deals with perception, like a business deal. It may be legal. Some people think that anything that's legal, anything that's made legal, then is okay. So they say, well, abortion, no, that's morally wrong. That's just morally wrong. Now, it's legal, but just because something is made legal does not mean that. I mean, the mind has justified it.
Sure.
And then you've done it. A business deal, you may say, well, I didn't do anything wrong in a business deal, but you might have done something wrong, even if it's legal. So morality is deeper. It deals with the human issue, the part of creation that God designed us. And if life is going to work for us right, and if society is going to work right, then they have to deal with that issue of the moral character and the moral law, that the legal things should be structured under that. But they're not always. Mm-hmm. And so we have to read into that and find out where the moral law really is.
John, you give us three ways to check our conscience. Number one, do you have a problem looking certain people in the eye and being transparent?
That's right. Sometimes when people discuss things with you, they can't look at you.
Uh-huh.
You know, they want to hide or they want to cross the street so they don't see you. You know, I've made loans to people already and they swore to God and, you know, I'll give it back. You just help me out and give it back. You give them the $1,000 or stuff like that and they never see you. They can't even face you because really what it was, I knew when I gave it to them that they were not planning on doing it. But they swore to God that they would. But now they can't face it because they never had an intent to give it to you, you know.
The second, are you afraid to openly discuss certain issues?
That's right. Some people get really hot when you bring up an issue because they just lose it or they don't want to even get into it. They either get extremely mad and they want to avoid an issue because it's something that they can't deal with because they feel guilty.
And the third one, do you feel uncomfortable talking about God?
That's right. I remember the time that when people talked to me about God, I felt uncomfortable, you know, because I didn't know who he was. I mean, it's like,
yeah.
I mean, you're afraid to get into discussion of something that, you know, it's just funny how that works, you know.
We are responsible before God and mankind to follow a moral code of ethics. This code is based upon truth from God and creation. The commandments were given as the guideline for human behavior. They teach respect for God and our fellow man.
That's true. I want to stop there. That's really true. Sometimes people think that anything that they can get away with or anything that's legal or anything, you know, that's okay. But it is the moral laws and the codes of God are respect for God, but they were given not just to satisfy God. God is going to make it with us or without it. They were really, the laws were given to make human relations work. If you look at the Ten Commandments, only one was in respect to God. The others were in respect for man.
These laws and principles were not given just so we can please God, but they were designed and given with us in mind. We are the beneficiaries.
That's right.
We will do ourselves a favor by living and structuring ourselves and our societies upon them. Our forefathers understood this. That's why our Constitution and system of laws are structured around God's commandments. It was to create a moral society.
That's right. And if you read the Constitution, you're surprised. They don't teach bring a lot of religious things in, but they respect God and His law.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, some people say, well, it was religion. It was not religion. It was just understanding the facts of life. If you took God, the word God, out and just say there are life principles or life laws, creation laws of creation, then people would accept them. But they were taken from the Bible, and they were taken from God's Word. And so it's very critical.
Most moral values are plain common sense. Just because we have been given the ability to reason and choose does not license us to break the moral standards. Morality is simply a rule of conduct that is right, right for you, right for me, according to the designer. We might ask the man in the mirror if he knows what is right.
Boy, that's powerful. That tells it as it is. You know, it's what's right, not just for me, but what's right for you. And look in the mirror and judge yourself and say, like, am I doing right?
The principle of morality. Proverbs 11, verse 11. The good influence of godly citizens causes a city to prosper, but the moral decay of the wicked drives it downhill. How powerful, John.
It is, and it's really probably one of the most popular subjects in the world right now. Everybody's talking about morality, but nobody knows exactly where to start, where the absolute start, and that's what they're trying to discover. But we will not become moral as a society unless we understand the value of it, and that's what's being discussed right now. And in order to understand the value, we have to understand that the mind is neutral. The mind is not moral or is not right or wrong. The mind is neutral. And when we are born with a blank tape in our mind. And whatever we discover through our five senses, hearing, touching, tasting, and all that, whatever we discover is shaped in our mind and recorded. And then that becomes what our character and our nature and all the things that come out of that, is that's going to be 90% of what we are. And so we have to understand that, and so it's important that we find absolute truth. Our mind needs absolute. It needs commandments. And without that, we'll never discover what real morality is. So we got to search for the absolute, and when we find them, then we got to teach those from a child. We got to teach those, and then that will steer a society into moral character.